Morning. Yesterday, while I was scrolling through the smattering of news I can access on my phone, I came upon something worth stopping for. It's the story of Dan Peterson and Nora Wood. As I begin to tell it, you may know it. Dan Peterson was shopping at his local Publix in Norcross, Georgia. Mr. Peterson was, as he told it, pretty severely depressed. He had just lost his wife of many years, and I can only imagine what an incredibly lonely task it was to be out shopping for just himself. Nora Wood was at the grocery store, too, with her mom. She was 4 years old and getting a ride in one of those great big carts that every mother hates. Nora was in her cart not feeling particularly lonely at all. In fact, when you watch the security video of what follows, you see Nora is perfectly filled up. Nora waved at Dan as their carts passed. She called out to him, "Hey, old person." The three of them were complete strangers to one another, but that didn't stop Nora. Dan pauses, kind of dumbstruck, and next, Nora asks for a hug. "Absolutely," said Dan. And Nora asked her mama to take a picture of the two of them together. Then Dan said to Nora and her mom, "You don't know. You don't know. This is the first time for quite a while that I've been this happy." And hearing Dan recount the story, you realize just how much Nora was a blessing to him. The story went viral and got picked up for national news and Sunday news stories. Thousands of letters of encouragement came flooding into Dan's mailbox. It's just a story that feels so good. To me, when watching the video of Nora jump with joy and reach for Dan in the grocery store, I am struck by just how remarkable this life is. How remarkable that God can take his people and so fill them up that they can offer one another a new lease on life. That's exactly what 4-year-old Nora did for Dan that day. She became a blessing to Dan. And then Nora and Dan became a blessing to all of us who have heard their story. And I suspect that something new was born for Dan that day, there in the dairy aisle. And for Nora, too. And it is most certainly something born of the living water and the Holy Spirit that Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about today. In preparing for today's story, I've read some pretty rough stuff about Nicodemus, and I'm convinced it's really not that fair. In our reading today, Nicodemus, a Pharisee, and thus not an obvious friend to Jesus, shows up at night to talk to him. Some may say that he's hiding from the other Pharisees, coming under the cover of night so as not to be seen aligning with Jesus. But what if Nicodemus had been listening to Jesus, watching him at work, healing and teaching, and that night he just couldn't put his head down until he got to talk to him? Nicodemus doesn't come with words of condemnation for Jesus. He doesn't come with tricky questions for Jesus. Nicodemus just shows up and says to Jesus, "I know you're a teacher, and I know you are in the presence of God." Maybe Jesus is tired and just wants to move the conversation along because Jesus answers a question Nicodemus didn't ask. Jesus tells him, "No one is going to see the kingdom of God without being born from above, born again." Nicodemus doesn't seem to understand or need some clarification from Jesus following this answer to a question he didn't ask. It's a human question for certain. How can I be born again? Then Jesus reminds him that the Holy Spirit and the kingdom of God are not bound by our flesh or by the limits of our human imaginations. Nicodemus still doesn't get it. How can these things be? Jesus tries to convey the breadth and depth of God's mercy and love for us all. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son. For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And then the story ends. And we don't know how Nicodemus responds. But John brings Nicodemus into his gospel story two more times. Nicodemus defends Jesus to the chief priests and the Pharisees as the time of the crucifixion is drawing near. He says to the group when they were trying to condemn Jesus that their laws do not judge people without giving them a hearing. He gets knocked around by the Pharisees for this. Basically, they ask him if he's a backwater hick from Galilee too. And that's where the narrative ends for that exchange. Some have considered this a lukewarm defense of Jesus, that Nicodemus didn't really do that much. I kind of admire it. Nicodemus isn't a disciple. He's on the margins of trying to figure all this out. When you consider that some of Jesus' own closest friends desert him, Nicodemus doesn't seem that bad at all. And in Nicodemus' final appearance in John's narrative, it comes after Jesus has died on the cross. He comes forward to help Joseph of Arimathea, who has claimed Jesus' body. Nicodemus arrives with myrrh to anoint Jesus, as was the custom. But it seems that he comes with a whole lot of myrrh, more fit for the burial of a person of great importance than a troublemaking rabbi from Galilee. Again, some scholars have knocked him for this, maybe saying he was trying to weigh Jesus' body down to avoid a resurrection. But what if it was just Nicodemus' way of showing up and saying he sees now? The Holy Spirit had been at work on him. He sees who Jesus is, and all he can do at this point is lavish upon him an abundance of precious oil. The fact that Nicodemus is one of the people who gets to lay Jesus in the tomb is a profound detail to me. He is there at the tomb, tending to Jesus' broken, dead body. The way I see it, that's love and reverence. And it's incredible. I relate to the story of Nicodemus. He's just trying to get it. He's wrestling with what he has understood about God before Jesus' arrival and what he's been learning and been moved to see as he has encountered Jesus. The Holy Spirit, who, as Jesus says, blows where it chooses, is at work. So much so that Nicodemus tries to speak up for Jesus against the people who are trying to silence him. So much so that Nicodemus shows up to lay Jesus in the tomb with enough oil to show he knows something of who this man is. I bet wrestling with Jesus and who he is in our lives is not a foreign concept for most of us. You might, in the middle of the night, try to talk to Jesus, and in doing so, get an answer to a question you didn't even ask. You might know what it is to try to figure out the right words to use to stand up for Jesus amongst those who would prefer you did not. And you might know what it feels like to think you've come to understand something too late, and all you can do is offer an abundance of what doesn't seem to be near enough. I wish I knew how Nicodemus' story ended. Did he join in with the new followers of Jesus? Did he struggle along in the life he had known, trying to reconcile what had been revealed to him, what had been born again in him? Did he feel lonely and lost as the post-resurrection world unfolded in his midst? Or did God, in his great mercy, send Nicodemus a Nora, like he did to Dan? Someone who, through what is only the work of the Holy Spirit, could open his heart up again to know that there are infinite new beginnings in God's love. So many opportunities to be born again into a life with Christ's never-ending love. I do know part of the end of Dan and Nora's story. Nora and Dan saw each other at least once a week for the past 4 years after that first meeting in the grocery store. There were so many hugs and smiles between the pair. He was there at her kindergarten graduation. She visited his garden, and they became dear friends. Early this February, Nora and her little sister Marigold visited with Dan, and as always, the visit began with a hug and ended with a hug. Dan died the next day. At Dan's funeral, Nora and her mom were right there, there to remember the man Nora knew Dan to be. Nora's mom has said of the pair, "I think it was humanity at its best, to love and to be loved. For God so loved the world that he sent us his son to show us how to love. How to love just like Nora and Dan and Nicodemus did."